Anyways, I want to start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get to today's Sunday school lesson. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy to us. Lord, we thank you that you suffered and bled and died in our place. You shed your precious blood that we might be redeemed, Lord, and we thank you so much for that. We thank you that we get to freely come together every Sunday, Lord, and remember what you've done for us, Lord. And we just pray that you would bless this morning, not only in this Sunday school, but the ones that are across this nation, Lord, where people are seeking to faithfully proclaim your word, Lord. And we thank you that your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would do the work in our hearts this morning, and that we would seek to glorify you, Lord. You know, my desire is just to be an encouragement and a blessing, and I just pray that you would help me to speak truth in love, Lord, and that you would just bless, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. First, I want to say thank you to Pastor Todd for this opportunity. Again, when I start thinking about a Sunday school lesson or any kind of time that I'm speaking, my main thought is, you know, Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement. That's really what is going on in my head and in my thoughts. So as I say anything this morning, that just keep that in mind. You know, I want to also say that Grace Bible Church, I'm very thankful for this ministry. This ministry will always be special to my family. Cristiano was baptized in the pool not so far from here. My son Jaden was saved in the foyer right there. So very, very thankful for the work that God has done and is continuing to do. I also wanted to share with the church that something that I shared with Pastor Todd a few months ago, probably a couple months ago, which is that it is my desire to be in ministry. It's probably, I don't know if you want to call it ministry of helps. Oftentimes you hear of missionaries that say, you know, it would be really, really nice if we could have a family to help out. So, you know, it could be a startup work. It could be something that just to give you some background, I've been telecommuting, working from home for over a year, and it's looking like a very real possibility that that could be permanent. And so if that's permanent, that would definitely open up doors of opportunities for my family and I to serve. So just thought I'd share it and, you know, keep that in prayer. But that's our desire, just to be a help. I'm also fluent in Spanish. I know that my country, Puerto Rico, is a very, very needy place. I'm sure, I mean, we have needs here in Milton, right? But so anyways, lots going on as far as what could be, but we're just praying and kind of like Isaiah, Lord, hear my, use us. We just want to be a help and a blessing. So thought I'd share that this morning. So with today's Sunday school lesson or message, whatever you want to consider it, my thoughts this morning are on serving the Lord according to his purpose. I think it's easy for us to get so busy in this Christian life that we lose sight of the purpose behind what it is that we've been called to do. I think it's also possible that some of us may think we're doing the will of God, but we're really just going through the motions. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, this is Isaiah speaking on behalf of God to the nation of Israel, Isaiah 1:11, it says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? To what purpose? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the goats." So the question here posed by the Lord is, to what purpose? Now understand that the sacrificial system was ordained and given by God. So when he's saying, to what purpose are you doing these things, we have to understand that it wasn't that they were not doing the things outwardly that God had told them to do. There was a different purpose for doing them. And so, obviously from the Word of God, we see that God is the one who not only instructs his children on what to do, but tells us why we do it, the purpose, the meaning behind it. Purpose can be defined as an intended aim or goal. And so my thoughts this morning is to get us to think that it's not just what we do, but the reason behind it. What is the purpose of why we do what we do? And think about, just as an example, when in the New Testament, Jesus was talking about those people who were putting money in the plate. What was the purpose behind putting the money in the plate to be seen, right? Was that the purpose of God instructing us in his word to give? Think about the ones that were making long prayers in pretense. What was the purpose of them praying? Are we not commanded to pray in the scriptures? Clearly, we're commanded to pray. Clearly, we're commanded to give. But what is the purpose? And so that is what I want to kind of hone in is, why are we doing what we do? Are we doing it according to his purpose? Matthew 15, 7, 9. I just quoted Isaiah, but here's Isaiah again, being quoted in Matthew 15 by our Lord. He says, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And verse 9, it says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Is it possible to worship God in vain? I think we have an example here where the nation of Israel had missed the boat. God was, the purpose of instituting the sacrifices was not a checkbox. Ding, did it. Church, ding, prayer, ding, right? Checking the boxes, that's not the purpose behind it. And I know this is a very simple message, and what I'm really sharing is what God has been working in my life. So you're kind of just, I'm opening myself. This is the things that God is working, and if it's able to help someone, then praise the Lord. But it's definitely been a help and a blessing to me. God had made it clear what he required. The sacrifices of God, and by the way, I have all of my verses already printed out to kind of have nine. I was able to narrow it down to 9 pages. So I have a lot of material, but I have everything. If you're welcome to listen, because I have a lot of verses. So I mean, they were all printed out. But anyways, Israel had missed the boat. They thought their sacrifices was it. They thought their outward doings was it. What kind of sacrifice did God require? Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart that will not despise. God's purpose for Israel was to have their heart. And only when he had their heart could the sacrifices be a sweet smell and odor in the sight of God. So the first thing that I want to do is I want to show you us. This is simple. Nothing new here, right? Nothing new under the sun. I want to show us that our God is a God that moves with purpose. In Romans 8:28, a very familiar passage, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We have a God of purpose. When we're called, there's a purpose behind it. Verse 6 in Ephesians elaborates on that purpose. What was the purpose in calling us unto himself? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Later on in verse 11, it says, according to the eternal purpose. Not only does God have a purpose, he has an eternal purpose. So we clearly see in the word of God that God moves with purpose. Here's another example. When the Apostle Paul was giving his testimony before King Agrippa, this is what it says in Acts chapter 26, 14 through 16. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Again, the word of God is very clear that God moves with purpose. I'm not a singer. I don't claim to be. But there is a song that says, God never moves without purpose or plan, right? Some of us are familiar with that very sweet song. The next thing I want us to do is look, take a look at the word of God and see that not only does God is a God of purpose and moves with purpose, we as Christians are encouraged and exhorted to move with purpose. So Acts chapter 11, verse 22 through 24, it says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church. What were the tidings? The tidings that God had poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost unto the Gentiles. The Gentiles were being saved, and there was this what's going on, Peter having to explain that the vision that he saw. And guess what? The church said, yeah, God is definitely in it. The Gentiles are being saved. So what happens? Tidings came, and then the Bible says in verse 23 that they had sent forth Barnabas, who, verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. What was his exhortation? That with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm just going to be going, just the more Bible I say and the less I say, the better it is for everybody. So I'm just going to keep going through the Bible. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, Paul is warning about those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And in contrast, he says to his son in the faith, Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose. It wasn't that just Paul communicated his teachings and his doctrine and his persecutions and everything that was going on in his life. He made it a point to instruct Timothy what his purpose was. And I find that beautiful in the scripture. We have examples in the Word of God, Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Romans 1:13, the Apostle Paul, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you. What was the purpose of that? That I might have some fruit among you, even as other Gentiles. What we're trying to do is we're trying to basically think that we have to align our purpose to God's purpose, right? That's basically what we're talking about here. God is the one who instructs his children. He gives us purpose. And when we do these things, when we live out the Christian life, God is interested in the heart. God wants us to do it from the heart. God wants our heart. He wants us to do it for the right reasons. So again, we see that we're encouraged in the Word of God to live out with purpose. Now, how does that apply to us? How do we make application? Okay, yep, we see God is a God of purpose. We see that we're instructed to cleave unto the Lord with purpose, that we see examples of saints in the Word of God who had purpose in their hearts to follow the Lord from the heart. But how does that apply to us? I want to look at three basic things that we're instructed to do as New Testament believers and see their purpose in the Bible. The first one is going to church with a purpose. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, I'm personally not going to get into whether this is actually talking about church services or just in general when believers get together and we are the church. I personally believe it applies to both. So that's not my point this morning. But the point is that we're instructed in the Word of God to assemble together. And so most of the time, that's the only part of the verse that we hear. Can't forsake the assembling of ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong. I think that we should. Obviously, we're instructed. It's not an option, right? Christians are commanded to go to meet as believers. That's clear. But what I want to do is I want to read a few verses in that same chapter and try to see the purpose of us coming to church. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The first purpose that we see when believers are gathered together is to draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance. How do we draw near to God? James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Church is a place for examination, not just when we have the Lord's Supper. Church is a place where we come and we say, Lord, reveal if there be any wicked way in me. We have to draw nigh unto him with a true heart One that is saying, Lord, if there's sin in me, I don't want it. Point it out. Even if it hurts my feelings, let the preacher step on it. A place for examination is one of the purposes in the Word of God. Number two, to hold fast the profession of our faith. Remember, Jude says that we should contend for the entrance faith that was once delivered unto the saints. How do we hold fast the profession of our faith? 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Church is a place where we come to hear sound doctrine, and not only hear it, but receive it in faith and love. That is how we hold fast the profession of our faith. The third thing we see as one of the purposes for coming and assembling together as believers, and this is several phrases that are found in these verses that I just read in Hebrews, it says to consider one another, provoke one another unto love, provoke one another unto good works, exhort one another. Church is the place where we come to fulfill the one another's of Scripture. The fact is, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that we need each other. We can't fulfill the Christian life without each other. We just can't. And you know what? God has purposed it to be so. Think about all the verses that have to do with the one another's of Scripture. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You want to fulfill the law of Christ? Bear ye one another's burdens. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another. Listen to that phrase, one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. The list goes on. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. The Bible says we ought to comfort one another, encourage one another, admonish one another, accept one another, care for one another, serve one another. The point is that if we're not doing these things, then we're not fulfilling Hebrews 10:25. Let me say it more plainly. If we simply just come to church and stare at the back of somebody's head for an hour and that's about it, we're not fulfilling Hebrews 10:25. There's a purpose for the church. There's a purpose. Think about the prayer in John chapter 17 when Jesus Christ was praying for those that would believe through their word. Are we not those? We have believed through their word that has been passed on down. What was his prayer? That they may be one. Now we have to ask ourselves, are we one as a body? Now, again, I'm preaching to myself. This is what's going on in my heart. I'm just sharing. They say if you point one finger, you have three pointing right back at you. I don't know if you heard that or not. So I want to make it clear that this is coming from a heart of love. Here's some questions that I've been asking myself. Now, you're welcome to ask yourself these questions, but these are some questions that I've asked myself. When I come to church, am I looking for opportunities to connect with someone that is not in my circle? It's so easy to fall into cliques, right? My wife and I can attest to this. We've been to a lot of churches, and obviously we live in Crestview. We haven't had good experiences. Not going to name any churches, but it's almost like they have a motto, me and my four and no more. That's it. We have all the friends we need. We're perfectly fine. Yet we're one. How can the body fully function without one arm or without one leg? Are we not all part of the body? Question number two, am I allowing excuses to keep me from fulfilling these one another's? Well, that person or that individual, their standards are just not high enough for me, so I think I'm just going to stay away. You ever thought that God might use you in their life to help them to see some things that may be wrong in their life? How are you going to be an influence in their life if you don't make yourself, you don't put yourself out there? I'm just not a people person. I'm an introvert. I don't see any exceptions or exemptions in the Bible for that. I just don't. I'm not being ugly or mean. I understand we all have different personalities, and if you are more on the quieter side, pray. You believe God can help you to in that area. I think we all could do better in that area, right? I think we can all make it a matter of prayer. Question number three. If church is not the main place where we create and develop meaningful friendships, then can someone please tell me where that place is? Question number four. Am I looking for opportunities to make visitors or new members feel welcomed? I ask myself the question, is it possible that visitors have been coming for months and I've not said hi to them? I've not said, I'm glad you're here. And it goes beyond just saying hi. Once they start visiting and we see them a couple of times, how about trying to get to know them? How about, hey, what are you doing for lunch? I'm preaching to myself here. Again, we're called to be one body. We're called to do these one another's, and we're not going to do them by staring at the back of somebody's head and every Sunday in and out. One of the very first things I remember when I started visiting Grace was Brother Roger Brainerd going out of his way to make me feel welcome, and I appreciated that. Some of you might say, well, I might spook somebody, you know, if I just come up and say hi and, you know, this is their first time, they're probably already scared. What if they get spooked and never come back because nobody said anything? We've got to realize that it's very possible that we have people right here at Grace Bible Church who are hurting, who need encouragement, who need somebody to be that one another. And we're not going to do it if we don't reach out. We're not going to do it. We have to be intentful about this. This is not going to happen through osmosis. Well, eventually, a year from now, we probably would get around to talking to that person. That's not how it works. Consider the fact that Romans 12:15 says, weep with them that weep. That's not talking about, oh, we hear something terrible happen to so-and-so and we feel bad about it. That's not what that verse is saying. That verse is saying that our relationship with each other is such that if somebody is going through pain, we genuinely feel the same pain. Now, can we fulfill these one another's outside of a church setting? Absolutely. That doesn't excuse us from trying to fulfill them in here, though. Right? Sometimes we have to minister, we have to go to the hospital, places outside of church, the nursing homes, the ball fields. They're so appreciative of the fact that this church is community-minded, right? But again, it doesn't stop here. The second thing that I want to look at is studying God's Word with a purpose. 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So it's clear from the Word of God that we're to study. As newborn babes, the Bible tells us, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So what is the purpose of studying the Word of God? Is it so that we can be braggadocious and boastful about it? Oh man, I've got about 500 verses memorized. They call me the concordance around the house. Miss Devin might remember when I was doing their Sunday school years ago, if we had any time at the end of the Sunday school, I would tell them to read out loud any three verses in the New Testament minus the Gospels because there's so much similarity. But if they read those three verses, I would tell them what book and chapter they were. And most of the time, I say I got them right. She might, would you agree? Is that the purpose so the kids can see, wow? Now, I did hear that Dr. Watt one-upped me and added the Old Testament, and I just threw up the white flag of surrender. So, I'm kidding, obviously. I think some things can serve to inspire, right? Kids to realize that, hey, you know, the Word of God is serious enough for us to spend some meaningful time in it and study it and have it in our heart, right? But what is the purpose? 1 Corinthians 8:1 says that knowledge puffeth up. We can get proud, right? All of us are subject to that. Well, if this was my church, I'd preach this a little differently. Be careful with those "if this were," because I guarantee you that the only thing that our pastors need is prayer, that God will continue to strengthen them, give them wisdom, and continue the work. And they need support. And so before you ever critique, spend time on your knees for them before you ever do something like that. And I know this is the good crowd. Anyways, one purpose for studying the Word of God is so that we can teach our children. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 through 8 says, "And these words which I command thee these days shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Are we taking the responsibility of teaching our children seriously? Or is Sunday school and Sunday mornings and Wednesdays, is that about the only time that the Word of God is ever opened? This is a serious responsibility. God has gifted us with children, those of us who have children who are still at the house. This is serious. This is something, they will be tested, they will be tried. Their faith, think about it. Why are so many children growing up in Christian homes and churches and falling by the wayside in droves? I don't think it was serious in their house. I don't think the Word of God was a common topic in their house. I don't think it was something that was mentioned and talked about and digressed and considered and taught. And along with that, not just the right and wrong, but the purpose behind it, the heart, the spirit behind what we do, that falls on us as parents. Another reason why we should study the Word of God is to be soul winners. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." And I know this sounds like a message instead of a Sunday school, so, you know, it is what it is. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." If I had to say, I think one of the top reasons why Christians don't witness is because they're afraid of being asked something they don't know. And that's normal. I've been there. I don't claim to know everything. But shouldn't that just drive us to study more, to be ready? I mean, that should be the natural result of what that leads to. Not, well, you know, I might run into some intellectual who's going to talk to me and I'm just not going to be able to. No. Half the time, it's a bunch of smokescreen, and you just get to the heart of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, and all that other junk just goes away. Stick to the gospel. Another reason why we study the Word of God, another purpose, is to help us fight the good fight of faith. Ephesians chapter 6, very familiar verses. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." What does the whole armor of God include? It says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not physical. It's a spiritual realm, and the Word of God is how we fight. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Another purpose for studying the Word of God is to live a sanctified life. We talked about how God wants our hearts, not just our actions. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The purpose is to read, study, apply. There's knowledge and then there's wisdom. Knowledge is you know something. Wisdom is you apply what you know. We study, we apply. That's the purpose of studying the Word of God. Another purpose for studying the Word of God is to build our faith. Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 4:2 says, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There are a lot more verses that we can go to, but overall the point is that with the right purpose, we have a treasure in the Word of God. And there are plenty of things that we can gain as believers that are not only beneficial to ourselves, but to one another. Lastly, number three, praying with a purpose. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, there are a lot of purpose given in Scripture in with regards to prayer. Matthew 26:41 says, pray that you enter not into temptation. Luke 6:28 says, pray for them which despitefully use you. Luke 10:2 says, therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So what I want to challenge us is to pray with the purpose and the intent of you being the answer to someone's prayer. Is it possible that somebody perhaps in North Carolina has a lost son that lives right here in Milton and they're praying, God, please send somebody to my son? Is it possible? I think so. They're praying. Are we trying to be an answer to God's, for God to use us? There are people in need. Are we looking? It's not just praying that we would be answered to prayers, but after we pray, now we're looking. Watch and pray. Look, you know, it's looking for opportunities. God, I want to be used by you. I want to be the answer to someone's prayer. I want to be that one another. I want to be the one that is that shoulder. James 2:15, 16 says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful for the body. What is a profit? I'll pray for you, brother. God wants us to have purpose. He wants us to be Christians of action. He wants us to be united as a body. He wants us to reach out and open our hearts and be that, do that awkward handshake. Hey, my name is so-and-so. How are you? Can you tell me your testimony? I'd like to hear your testimony of how you came to the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing to hear? Tell me how you got saved. Tell me how the Lord saved you from an eternal, fiery place of torment. Pray that you will be the one to lift and encourage those who are cast down. I want to close with Philippians 2:1-5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. There's some bad purposes there, strife and vainglory. Don't do it for those purposes. How? But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Why? The real question is why? Verse 5 tells us the answer. Let this mind be in you. All those things that were mentioned that we're to do as believers, let this mind be in you. Why? Because that's the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Because our ultimate purpose is to be like him. Because our ultimate purpose is in being like Christ, is how God is glorified. 2 Corinthians 4 says, what? That all things may redound to the glory of God. That is our ultimate purpose, for the glory of God. Everything that we do, the Bible says, this world will know you by how you love each other. That all things may redound to the glory of God. So again, I just wanted to share what was in my heart, and I pray that this was an encouragement to you as it has been to me, and mainly pray that these are not just things that we're talking or discussing, but that we actually pray and ask God to help us to have that unity that the body of Christ so desperately needs. Talks about one body, one in Ephesians chapter 3, that until we all come into the unity of the Spirit. But let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much, Lord, that you love us and you gave us your word. And we thank you, Lord, that your yoke is not a burden on us, Lord. You've given us enough in the word of God for us to live godly lives. And we just pray that you would work in our hearts, Lord, that you would continue to do a work in us, Lord, that we may be what you want us to be, Lord, that we would do things according to your purpose, that we would seek for opportunities, Lord, to serve, to love, to exhort, to encourage. And I just pray that you would ultimately allow us to do it for the simple desire to glorify you. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.